Dave, I assume that you either watched Mr. Trump or you watched the other wannabe Trumps last week during what they fancifully called a debate, but which was, to me, an example of derangement syndrome.
Yeah, it's not something that was easily watched. I couldn't stay tuned to the thing for very long. Then you flip to the commentators and see what, you know, to see what was happening. I did not watch the counter programming with Tucker and Trump himself, which was pre-taped. But yeah, the so-called debate itself had some revealing, let's say, rather than interesting moments. When you ask someone if you will vote for a convicted felon for president, and six of the eight raise their hands, that's pretty telling. That's pretty telling. You know, a lot of people thought the star of the show was that Vivek Ramaswamy.
He came across as especially deranged.
Yeah. You know, Chris, I wasn't on the debate, but Chris Christie had the comment. You know, Vivek talks very fast, very, you know, he's a slick salesman. And he said, one of the things he said was that Donald Trump was the greatest president of this century. And, you know, Chris Christie said, then why the heck are you running? He's running.
Right.
You know, which is a good question. I mean, Christie is a very talented politician. His politics are not the greatest, let's say.
Well, it all depends on whether you think people should have to line up outside the George Washington Bridge to get punished because the local mayor refused to endorse Christie.
Right, or you don't want to build a new tunnel to New York.
Right, exactly. After you've given
your traffic, yeah, and relieve traffic, which, by the way, has ramifications for us because it's going to be a rail tunnel.
That's right.
And the railroad's supposed to come back into Scranton and then shoot up past your area.
Without that tunnel, there is no possibility for having railroad traffic from Scranton to New York. You need that tunnel.
Right. I mean, the old way was it ran just to Hoboken, and you had to change trains. And
aside from which, the Port of New York needs another tunnel. There's just that much more commerce.
Sure.
And the Port of New York is called the Port of New York and New Jersey for a reason. It's between...
That's it.
In any case, on the basis of policy, these guys range between horrible and unbelievable. And on the basis of presentation, none of them have any kind of leadership quality. I mean, they all lie. They basically say nothing. They avoid everything. Every one of them is for war. They seem to compete with each other on who's going to go to war first. DeSantis is going to invade Mexico the first day in office. That's what he promised. The other guys are going to invade Mexico, not the first day, but they'll invade Mexico the next day. They all want to go to war with China. Haley already has a long record of being a warlike politician, enamored of war and pressing war at every instance. By contrast, Trump says, I'm against war. Now, he may not be against war, but at least he has the brains to say, I'm against war. Who in the world wants to have a war? I'm not a pacifist, but what do they be fighting this war for?
Well, his thing is surrender and then, you know, worry about the consequences later.
You mean Trump?
Yeah.
You can't ascribe actual meaning to what Trump says, but the point is what he says is he's against war, whereas the other guys all say I'm for war.
Well, but the thing is that Trump, you know, this strongman stuff, the reason he's against war is because more people shoot back at you.
That's true.
he's fine as long as he's shooting at them.
Right. That's true.
But as soon as someone can shoot back at him, it's whoa. That's where
You have to concede that no matter what they say, they're all going to follow basically the same policy. And it's basically the policy that Trump laid out because the Republican Party wants that policy. Pro-corporate, and in terms of the corporate, pro-big business. Let the working people pay.
Well, it's that old quote, I'm your leader, I follow the crowd.
Yeah, but in this case, they're not following the crowd.
Well, they're following the MAGA, the base.
Yeah, they're following MAGA.
And the base, of course, when you start talking about it, is really not pro-corporate. But they...
The base is never corporate, but the base is easily led.
They use the base. This goes back to 2010, you know, where they used the base to get their tax cuts.
That's right. And they continually fool the base as to what's going on. Now, the truth is the Republican Party apparently is split up into six or so different factions. But the biggest faction is Trump's faction, and they're the leaders of all of the factions, and none of the other factions can unite with themselves to oppose him, and don't. And so each one of them, whether it's the so-called old guard conservatives, or it's the libertarians, or it's the maggots, or whoever they may be, follow the lead of the maggots because they have the plurality within the party. So effectively, it's a maggot party. Doesn't matter what Christie says he's going to do, he'll do what Trump did. Even Biden is doing what Trump did in foreign policy.
Mostly. Not all of it. Well, a large part of it.
Yeah. So, and Trump all of a sudden came up with a great idea, 10% across the board tariff for everything, which would fuel inflation.
It's a tax on the American...
It's a tax on the American people. Exactly right. For what purpose? Toward what end? To benefit whom?
But that's the part of the fooling. You know, these people
think
I'm punishing China.
But it doesn't punish China.
It punishes themselves.
Yeah. No, it punishes you and me because we have to pay the 10% extra.
Yeah, all of us.
Yeah.
Whatever comes in from China.
But it's not just China that the tax is going to be on. He wants it across the board for everybody. And if DeSantis has his way and goes to war with Mexico, Mexico has now replaced China as America's number one trading partner. Now what?
Right.
Now what? And in this continent, Latin America, which is seething always with anti-American sentiment, whether above the surface or below the surface, say the special forces go into Mexico. What do you suppose is going to happen as a repercussion in the rest of the 20 countries of Latin America? You think they're going to all of a sudden leap to Washington's leadership? Or they're going to try to join BRIC?
Well, that was one of the things this week. BRIC grew. They took in, Iran, Saudi Arabia.
That's right. Ethiopia, Egypt.
Yeah, essentially... most of the world's oil is now in BRIC. 80%? It's just
The two largest oil the two largest oil producing countries and the ones that have the biggest reserves are Saudi Arabia and Iran, and they're both in BRIC.
The BRIC and Russia has big gas.
Yeah, and Russia. I'm sorry, it's Russia and Iran. Saudi Arabia is third, and Venezuela is fourth. And the point is, they're in BRICS. So, and BRICS, by the way, as everybody should know, is the alliance of
Brazil, Russia.
Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Right. And its only point is to oppose American economic hegemony in the world. That's the whole point. So, great victory for American foreign policy. So, that all happened last week. And is a direct consequence of the Republican Party's leadership, Trump's leadership. It's true, it came under Biden's presidency, But this is all a consequence of Trump's initiative, in especially with Iran, in ending the Iran deal.
Yes.
So.
Anyway, well.
But you impress? Could any of these eight Republicans who appeared on the debate, could any of them really stand up to Trump as a candidate? Do any of them have his presence?
No, but. Chris Christie would take some shots. Chris Christie's is the closest thing to being a New Yorker. Who he'd give him a good battle, but it won't matter because just on appearance, you know.
But he does he have? He has no chance. I mean, no. Every time he opened his mouth, he was drowned by booing.
Yeah, you know, I remember. Way back, I think it was, you know, when Romney became the nominee, who was it? Laura Ingraham said, unless we nominate Chris Christie, we're going to lose. And she was right. She was right. His time came and went.
His time came and went. That's right.
And that's a lesson, you know, and there's sometimes there are only small windows. Problem is that you may not know it until after.
You never can really know it until after.
there's a great line in that movie Field of Dreams where the Burt Lancaster character is reflecting and saying, you know, I thought there would be other moments. Little did I know that that was the only moment. Right. You know, Barack Obama seized the moment.
That's right.
And everybody thought it was premature.
You're right.
But in some ways, he made his moment.
Yeah, he made his moment. Now, let me ask you this. You say that you said in the past that some of these guys are just running for vice president. Was anybody up there that you thought Trump would actually pick as a vice presidential guy? I mean, the only one that sort of struck me, the Republicans have a penchant for the number five. There's five letters in Trump, five letters in Pence on that score. Haley.
Tim Scott.
She's got five letters. S-C-O-T-T. Oh, Scott. Right. Okay.
Tim Scott, who kind of faded in that debate, so-called debate. You didn't hear much of him, but he checks off some of the boxes. He's
Do you think Trump would trust a black man? Don't forget, whoever is the vice president inherits MAGA. You think Trump is going to turn his movement over to a black man, especially Tim Scott?
No, you don't understand. The authoritarians never turn their movement over.
So why would he choose Scott?
Well, because he thinks he can maintain his movement forever. You know, he admires Xi. You know, if he were to win re-election, he would try to find some way that he would stay as president forever until he dies. That's the mentality.
So you think, based on what happened Wednesday night, Scott could be the vice, or would be?
Not based on that you just said, is there anybody up there?
Yeah.
I mean, still there's others that you could think about.
Who?
Well, we've talked about your friend Stefanik up in New York State.
Has to be a woman, right?
Well, not necessarily, but if you want a woman, they talked a lot about Carrie Lake. She's made a bid. But
how about Marjorie Taylor Greene?
I think Trump even realized that she would be way too toxic. And he doesn't want anybody. And this is the knock on Carrie Lake. You know, Carrie Lake is media savvy. She was a reporter. And he doesn't want anybody that
anchor woman. She was an anchor woman.
Yeah, she was an anchor woman. That would media him in certain ways. Marjorie Taylor Greene is like that. She knows how to get attention. I think that she'd be out. But I'm not.
Well, if I'm Trump, I think I got a problem. I don't know who I could choose.
Well, you know what? He could just as well say I'm not choosing anybody because, just like he decided he wasn't going to have a
platform.
Platform.
But but if he doesn't choose, somebody will choose.
He,
if he throws it open to the convention, a joke.
Right.
But he controls the convention.
Right. So, well, you'll see. I mean, he'd be brazen enough to say Don Jr., for God's sake.
But that's illegal. He can't do that. He could say it, but he can't do it.
Well, it's only illegal if they come from the same state. But don't forget, when Dick Cheney was a Texan, when he went on with George Bush, he moved to Wyoming. So that's Don true. Jr. could move back to New York or to Georgia or to... he could come up here. Remember, he's got pies up here in the...
Yeah, he hunts up here. Right.
That would be... I'm sure Pennsylvania Republicans would be thrilled with that.
But that's interesting. You really think he would do that?
Nothing surprises me. You know,
do you think he trusts him that much? I mean, there were all kinds of stories about how, for most of his life, he made fun of Don Jr.
I think he'd prefer Ivanka.
He would prefer Ivanka, but she's not moving.
No, she's not. Well, she has a place in Washington, doesn't she?
I think they sold it so that she could move to Florida.
Okay, well, whatever. I'm not. There's a will, there's a way. They'd figure something out. But meantime,
that way they could go after the Jewish vote, right?
Yeah. Well, he's going to get a certain Jewish vote.
Well, that's true. There's a Republican Jewish vote, and they go for whoever the nominee is. They're loyal to the party.
Not to the party. They have this thing that they think he did great things for Israel. Move the embassy, the Abraham Accords. Type of thing. What a lot of my Jewish friends have a hard time understanding that you can be pro-Israel and still be anti-Semitic or to promote anti-Semitism.
They ought to go to some meetings of the Christian Zionist movement. That might disabuse them.
Yeah. it's hard to... They don't get out.
They don't get out. That's the best thing. If you don't get out, you can have any ideas you want.
Right.
So you write off the 8 people who appeared on the stage? There'll be fewer in the next stage, but however many there are, do you write them off?
I think it's pretty safe to write off Ralph Borgram.
All right.
And Asa's Hutchinson's going nowhere.
No.
The others, you know, don't forget, people stick around because they make money on this. DeSantis is going to have the hardest, let's say, come to Jesus moment, you know, when he has to confront reality that, you know, he's being rejected.
He is being rejected.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see any possibility that he can rise again.
And he's lost a lot of his funding.
Yeah.
And they're looking, you know, you hear that Rupert Murdoch wants Glenn Youngkin to run.
With all the charisma of my fountain pen.
Oh, yeah. He fooled the voters of Virginia once, but based on his record, I think he'd have a hard time. You know, they'd expose him more.
Yeah.
So, I don't think we need to... You know, spend a lot of time on this thing. You know, when the other story about Trump has, perhaps more meaning, the indictment and the mugshots and the co-conspirators part of it.
Do you think the Georgia case has more political dynamite than Jack Smith's case?
They're different, and I don't, you know, I don't know if Jack Smith is finished in terms of some of the things that could overlap.
Well, he dismissed the Washington grand jury. He said they finished their job. So they're not around anymore. And they got one more indictment through the work of the Washington grand jury.
They got that.
Yeah.
But
the judge, that woman, she could throw out the whole case.
Yeah, Judge Cannon down there.
Yeah,
but you know the fraud of these fake electors is so blatant. That was always my impression. As soon as I heard out that fake electors, basically because what they did, You know, they signed documents. They forwarded the documents. You know, they really forged their what they really were. And already some of these folks down in Georgia are, you know, starting to turn. They're starting to realize certain things. You know,
three of them say that they did what they did because their president told them to do it. Right. But isn't the main point they did what they did? Isn't that an admission that the indictment is accurate?
Well, you can't deny. I mean, they can't deny the fact that they did this. The whole question is.
But how is Trump's order something that absolves them?
Well, that's the whole thing. Don't forget, all these people that stormed the Capitol said, "I did it because my president told me to go up here and fight." That didn't get them very far.
No,
of course, those juries were in Washington D.C., but or in front of judges in Washington.
Yeah, but some of those judges were Trump judges.
Yes, yes. So, and we'll see how far some of these folks go. The Mark Meadows situation is going to be interesting because he, of course, was a federal official at the time. He was the chief of staff. And so he did serve the president. But the question there is, was this in the realm of what a president, you know, the duties of the presidency, the duties of the government, as opposed to just politics?
Even if it weren't criminal, the duties of the president can't possibly extend to administering the state election. I mean, the Republicans are constantly yelling about how it's the states that administer federal elections. They're the ones who are responsible for federal elections. And in fact, the case that they all supported on the independent legislature, that's the whole point of that case, that the federal government has no role to play in federal elections. They all supported that.
Now, Jake, we've been through this before. Hypocrisy knows no bounds when it comes to these people. We've talked about on the abortion issue where they said, oh, Roe v. Wade should be overturned because it should be left to the states. And then immediately they're turning around and saying, let's make a national law banning abortion.
Right.
This whole stuff, and in other states, like what happened in Texas, where they want, you know, local control, except when local control doesn't do what they want, then they take it away. Or, you know, they've done that in Flint, Michigan. They did this in Houston with the, you know, with education and things like that. DeSantis doing it in Florida, taking away DAs that were duly elected by their counties. And by the way, that's what they're trying to do in Georgia.
They're going to do it. Not that they're trying. They passed a law and created a commission, I think, in December of last year, whose whole point is to remove elected DAs. And they this week announced that they were going to remove the Fulton County DA because she prosecuted Trump. And they have the right to do it. The law says they have the right to do it. Now, supposing they do remove her. Now, there are people and organizations that have gone into court opposing it, trying to get the law declared null and void, and trying to get an injunction against going against her while that first case is underway.
Yeah.
But let's assume they succeed. Now what happens? So do they appoint the next DA?
Yeah, and whoever they appoint is going to dismiss the charges.
Yeah, exactly. Supposing that happens, what's the repercussions of that?
Well, we don't know, but I think you're going to see a lot of...
I think it means a complete defeat for the Republicans where they might otherwise have won certain elections. I think there'd be an enormous revulsion.
Yeah, I do too, even within Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Kemp was all set to run for Senate against John Ostroff. I think that if that happens, that would, you know, polarized the even more than things are polarized in Georgia, but I think that would really hurt his chances. And nationally,
they'd have to find more than 11,000 votes in Georgia to change that election, I think.
Yeah. Well, You'll see. But don't forget, you have a similar case in Michigan that's being brought, and Arizona, they're thinking of bringing a similar case. Pennsylvania could have had a case, except I think that they wisely determined that the signatures were only contingent on certain things happening.
Well, that's the only place where they had that sentence.
New Mexico as well, I think, or Nevada, one of the two. There were two states, Pennsylvania, I think, New Mexico, had that.
So what do you think? These guys, these other lawyers are just dopey? I mean, it seems dopey, yeah. Right? It seems dopey.
Well, look at how many of these lawyers have gotten themselves in a ringer. Yeah, they do dopey things. Sidney Powell, dopey. Dopey. What do they call them? Was it Pence that called them crackpot lawyers?
I don't know. Did he?
That's one of the terms. And you had that during the January 6th committee hearings, you had that term, team normal versus team crazy. It's just kind of amazing. I was just reading an article about Jonathan Turley, who teaches at my daughter's former law school, GW.
Who used to be a liberal commentator.
Yeah,
I can remember him as a liberal commentator.
Yeah, and he's done, you know, all sorts of apologetics for Trump. And he went on the air and said something to the effect that, well, Trump was just referring to the fact he wanted a recount.
A fifth recount.
Well, somebody pointed out that there'd already been recounts done, you know. Right. His position is what have you. But, these folks don't seem to learn, and they don't seem to get paid either.
Turley gets paid.
Well,
I mean, he's a walking propagandist with tenure.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
But he gets paid for his,
Did your daughter have Turley? Did she study under
Turley?
No,
she didn't have Turley, and she did not have Clarence Thomas, who also teaches there. Although he's currently on leave. I got something in the mail from a conservative friend this week talking about how all these law schools are, these quote-unquote liberal law schools aren't teaching the Constitution, they're teaching woke things. And I'm thinking about all these people that graduated from law school, you know, the elite law schools who are doing unconstitutional things on their own, you know, against what they've been taught. The Ted Cruz's, the Josh Hawley's, J.D. Vance, DeSantis, you know, all these folks.
Your friend, I know he's your friend, but afraid your friend is just part of the movement against education.
Well, no, he lives in this media silo.
But they're against education.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the West Virginia universities stopped teaching foreign languages.
Yeah.
And they stopped teaching literature.
They stopped teaching graduate math.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
Right. And when the Taiwanese company agreed to set up a plant in Phoenix to build the kind of chips, the semiconductor chips, they discovered there were no available workers who could run the plant in the entire southwest of the United States. And if they were going to have this plant, they were going to have to ship in their own workers from Taiwan, which caused a furor among the right-wing politicians in Arizona. It was anti-American. But either there are workers with education or there aren't workers with education. It's just that simple.
Yeah. And that's been the thing.
Workers, we're talking about engineers, not guys pushing a broom.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. The Republican Party has become the party that promotes ignorance.
That's exactly right.
And that's what Margaret Chase Smith said 70 years ago. I don't want to be part of a party that engages in ignorance, bigotry, smear, but that's what they've turned into.
Yep. Welcome to the Republican Party. Well, that's it for this week.
We'll see what happens Monday with that hearing.
That'll be an important hearing, yeah.
And next weekend's Labor Day, so.
Right. Summer will be over. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.